tried to, like, for the first time ever, underpack. I was like, just pack, because I'm such an overpacker.
Yeah.
If I'm going somewhere for a week, I'll take, like, 15 outfits.
Do you have a lot of just-in-cases?
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, especially with, like, underwear.
Yeah.
Like,
Two a day.
Yeah, but and then, like, two extras. And in my head, it's like...
What if you shit yourself?
Yeah, but I've never shit myself.
The second you don't pack, it's the second you shit yourself.
But I think it would probably make more sense for the one time I do shit myself to just buy new underwear I'm in New York.
You're doing like, well.
Yeah.
That's also the thing. Yeah. You're doing well. Someone had to tell me that.
I can afford some fresh underwear.
Comics keep this mindset. Like we're still...
No matter where you get to.
Can't pee where you're like, I got to bring my underwear. But I think it's smart to bring underwear. Specifically packing, for anyone watching this, packing overpack underwear because it takes up less space and it's the most necessary.
Absolutely. But this time out, like, I don't know where, I was like, I'm just going to pack properly. I'm just going to, like, two outfits a day, one for the day walking around, one for the night when we're going for drinks and whatever. And I just, by chance, I checked this morning and the only thing I had left was like a retro Liverpool Football Club drill top, and I went to put it on and it's got like a stain on the top because it's not the type of thing you'd wash, it's like a jacket.
Yeah,
so I was like, I've got it out the wardrobe and I've put it in and I've put it, and I was like, right, and I bought this and I thought, right, I'll just put that on. I've come out in Williamsburg and it's quite cold. We've gone for like brunch at Sweet Chicken, got like chicken and waffles, and we've come out and I was like, oh, it's getting a little bit warmer. You get over into Manhattan,
yeah,
it's absurd.
Yeah.
And the heat's got nowhere to go.
No, it's trapped in the building.
Because it's bouncing off every, like, reflective window. I'm walking around with Carl's got a hoodie on. And, like, a jacket over it.
Ooh.
Like, yeah.
Was he sweating? He got to have been sweating worse than you were.
We both completely fucked it. And I can't now. Like, I'd love, like, it's air-conned in here, so it's great. But I'd love to take this off, but I can feel.
Yeah.
I can see the lines the drip of in tit the back. Sweat. Yeah. Oh, the back.
Feel the back.
If it's snow in my back sweating, but like the tit sweat that's there now.
The worst is when you pull it and you feel the breeze go in, yeah. When it cools your tit sweat and you go like, oh, fuck, that's a lot of tit sweat.
It's absolutely.
Yeah. Painful. I walked my dog this morning being like, looked outside. Fuck, I checked my app. I was like, all right, 58 degrees. You know, I was like, that's pretty cold.
You'll have to translate that.
I know, and I'm trying. You know what? If you break the film down, there's a moment in a split second where I go, what is that? I don't know. Just come in.
That's the one like reference. Because I always think like it's a little harder for a British comic to do stuff in America than the other way around. Because we get every reference you guys. Every TV show and culture you have, we get.
That's what we dominated with military and culture.
Yeah.
That's where we were like, hey, we're going to put bases everywhere and we're going to have TV shows everywhere.
But the one thing with like the Brits are refusing to take from America is this Fahrenheit bullshit.
Yeah,
like,
you guys do Celsius. By the way, when I was there, when I saw you in 2021, I would look and I'd be like, fucking 30? This is freezing.
It's hot as shit.
Everyone was like, this is the hottest day in London's history. And I was like, it's 35. I like didn't get it.
What is that in Fahrenheit?
This is how dumb I am. I have to do it on my phone. But Celsius to Fahrenheit. So what I said
is... it's complicated, isn't it? It's not like... Because it's something like... Double it, triple it, divide it by, and then you add something. It doesn't make any.
I thought it was 14 degrees Celsius this morning. That's what it was. It was 14 Celsius.
Yeah.
So I was like, little chilly.
Right.
But not cold.
No, that's perfect.
Perfect.
That's my perfect temperature. Anything from like 14 to 18 degrees Celsius.
Which for people in Wisconsin are going like 14 to 18, pretty cold. It's pretty goddamn cold. That's pretty cold, but it is. So like you said 18 is your perfect, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And then what I love about Google is it's like, oh, you want to go to Fahrenheit. So that's 65 degrees, which is perfect.
Yeah, it's like as good as it gets.
And that is, it's, I loved a little bit colder because it's sweatshirt weather.
Yeah.
Where during the day you can wear a t-shirt and then at night a sweatshirt.
Totally.
Yeah.
But
we're starting to hit this thing now where, I mean, tomorrow it's going to be hot.
The day before we arrived, because we only arrived Thursday.
Yeah.
And the day before, apparently, it was really hot. It was like 27 Celsius.
Which is
7.3 billion.
I'm gonna keep going to Google. I think it was like 83.
Two English-speaking grown men are trying to have a conversation dumb. And we need Google like, Translate.
I feel like I am hot. It's like, I am hot. Yeah.
It's, there's a lot of people, especially in the UK, because obviously our weather's constantly dog shit. Like people are like,
oh, I would disagree. I would say you have my favorite weather. Cloudy and a little chilly is.
But it's not consistent though. The problem I have with UK weather, because I like that as well.
Oh, I love it.
I'm quite happy to have my the perfect weather for me. And this is, I don't know whether this is a Liverpool thing or a UK thing, is like a sweater, but with shorts.
Brother, all weekend. Now, you were like, hey, are you around this weekend? I took this weekend to do nothing. I saw you out with my dog.
Yeah, yeah.
That was this, one of
the four. Odds of that, by the way.
Which is bananas.
It's insane.
It's one of four times I left my house this weekend. I'm not joking. Saturday and Sunday, I left my house four times. I saw you on one of those times because you and Carl were going to
Book of Mormon.
Book of Mormon. And I was talking to my friend Charlie down there, which, by the way, he's like one of the head door guys at like a very fucking nice building over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right by Madison Square Park.
It was a nice place, yeah.
I used to be a waiter and he used to be my busser.
Oh, wow.
Like 15 years ago. 16 years ago.
Is that the first time you've seen him?
I know he works there. Yeah, I was walking over from the stand one night,
yeah.
And he was like, got off work. He's like, yo, Soder. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, yo, I'm the door guy here. So when I walk my dog by there, I always see if Charlie's working. And I stop and we talk, you know, Knicks, Nuggets, whatever, NBA, NFL, whatever's going on.
The fact you bump into anyone.
It's great.
I did maths until I got to university and I was like, I'm going to be a comic, and I fucked it off.
Sure.
But like statistics always fascinate me, right?
Yeah.
So I think in New York, or people who live in New York or might be in New York for me, there might be 50 people that I know well enough
mm-hmm.
to stop. Like,
we go, hey.
There's like 10 American comics that I've met and worked with or been for lunch with, like you yeah. and Schultz, Shane, who like I would stop and be like, how you doing, lads? You know, like, yeah, good yeah. to see you. There's so many that I know or I've like bumped into who I probably would just be like, oh, I met them once before, but I'll keep going and whatever. Like, you're the only person I'd text this weekend because I knew I was coming to do this.
Yeah.
And we're walking down the street and you're there and we walk away and Carl's like, that is impossible. Like, it's not unlikely. It's we're in New York, which yeah. has got, what, is like 15 million people or something yeah. in the city.
And you're walking, by the way, on a busy Saturday.
One of the four times you've left your house this weekend. One of the
four times I left is to get a poop out of Myrtle.
But it happens to me all the time. Like, a couple of weeks ago, me and Carl were walking through Liverpool. And this is so funny. One of our friends was having, like, problems with his missus.
Sure.
And we were going to meet up with him and have, like, you know, the boys chat me, like, everything's going to be all right
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And
the weather, the storm talk.
Yeah, totally. Just like, it's yeah. going to be fine. And we're walking through Liverpool city centre. And I said to Carl, I go, what would happen? How do you think she'd react right now if like one of my ex-girlfriends just walking down these stairs? Because we're walking down like this narrow bit of the city where if she's coming down these stairs, she's committed. Like there's no like left or right or turn yeah. around.
You're just locked in.
What do you think would happen? And he's like, I think she'd just like be all right. And then she'd probably get 100 yards away and she might start crying because she might not be over it and whatever. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And I've got like three exes that we were sort of talking about. And we're like, yeah, yeah. And I swear less than 100 yards later, my ex-girlfriend's walking towards us.
You talked it into existence.
It's just, but it's so impossible and it happens to me all the time.
It's lightning strikes. It's like the probability of a lightning strike is that happening. The worst one I ever had in my life was when I lived in Queens. I lived, you know, by a subway that you'd have to take into the city. And I broke up with this girl and it was kind of a bad breakup. This is 14 or 13 years ago. And we worked together at the restaurant and I stopped working at the restaurant.
Okay.
And we broke up. And not a bad breakup, but a sad breakup.
Yeah.
And I ended up hooking up with a friend of mine. Her and I were friends and we hooked up. And it was like one of those drinking nights where the next morning you're like, this is nuts. And, and I had to go to a gig. And I was like, let's get a coffee and get on the train. I got to go meet these people. And we get on the train. We're not even thinking about it. And the door opens and my ex walks on. And I was like, no. And I was just like, no, but it's not. Oh, what the fuck are the odds? I get on this train all the time and I never see her.
So Carl always says to me, and for those who don't know, Carl is like my best friend from school. I'm here with.
Co-host of Have a Word podcast, a hilarious podcast. Check it out.
Yeah, please
everywhere
do.
You get podcasts.
But he's always like, things like that just happen to you. And last week, I was in the pub that I go to. Like, I've got one pub in Liverpool. I'm just there all the time.
I love
like,
that. I just love That's what I miss the most about drinking. Having one place.
Do you drink anymore?
11 years ago, I stopped.
Oh, yeah. We spoke about this.
Yeah, yeah.
I want 6 pints of Guinness. And that's just the perfect night for me. 6 pints of Guinness with live music on. And my pub in Liverpool is just, that's every night of the week. That's what it is. Open till 3 a.m. So if you want to go late, you can go.
Which, that doesn't happen a lot in England.
No, it does in Liverpool. It doesn't happen a lot in London or Edinburgh, which I think is where you've spent most of your time.
Yeah, that's where I've spent most of my time.
Like, as a drinking town, London's dog shit. I hate it.
It's like LA.
Yeah, it's just...
LA is a dog shit drinking town.
If you're a member of, like, one, like Soho House or something, sure. You can get a drink until 3 or whatever. And then if you want to go to, like, a gay club, you can go there.
That's
but
it.
They're your options.
The gays are like, we're open all night, baby. Literally. But you just have to live a lifestyle.
It also feels less gay to go to a gay club than Soho House.
Yeah. You're like, so, it's more... It's, the pretentiousness is way low, which does feel... Does Soho Houses, you feel like... Because I've been to one here. I've been to one. I've had lunch at one in London.
Yeah.
It feels Illuminati.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is, but it's like show business Illuminati. Like
everyone's like, there he is.
It's...
And you're doing well. So you go to a Soho house now. You probably see people that 5 years ago wouldn't have pissed on you.
Totally. That's actually one of my favorite things. Because you know at the Edinburgh Festival? Yeah. You know like the industry bars? Like the Abattoir and the Loft and stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's different bars. For those of you who don't know, we're talking about the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland, which is a full month of just hundreds, if not 1,000 shows going on. But there is
It's hard to describe to those who haven't been because every single...
Because festivals in the United States last a week, 2 weeks.
Totally, yeah.
This one's a whole month. People live there.
Every single bar has an hour of stand-up on every hour of every day for a month.
And then there's like secret little bars, like cliques, where you go to like this bar. Like if you're with Live Nation, they're like, you got to go to this bar.
Yeah.
And then you go and everyone just smells each other's butts the entire time.
It's so funny. And like, I drink in them when I'm there because honestly, the comics are. And
I couldn't survive in them. Because I didn't drink. So I would go there for like an hour.
That's awful.
And then we had a weed, me and Sean Patton had a weed vape. And I'd be like, I got to go hit this weed vape. And I'd just go out there and be like, I'm going to walk around Edinburgh. I was like, I don't want to go to the bar.
So I did the festival last year.
Okay.
The tour I'm just coming to the end to now, I went to sort of run that hour in before I took it on the road.
Which for comics, it's the greatest. You just do your hour once a day for a full month.
It's
what I did for my HBO special. And it was like, I will do it again because it was so great.
If you do it properly and you actually use it for what it is, which is an opportunity. If you go with like, because in the UK, it's waning now. It's not the same. But like everyone had this idea that that's where you make it and that's where you become a star and TV can pick you up. Obviously, TV's power is dying and there's access through podcasts and everything to the mass market just by making your own stuff. But there's still this idea with some like styles of comics where they're like, I've got to have a good Edinburgh show because then I'll be famous. And so people still go with that idea and they're spending 10 grand on like posters around the city and stuff to try and get their name out. But if you go up, like I did it last year and I love a drink, but last year I did it sober. I was like, I'm going to just not drink for a month. I'm going to go to the gym every day and I'm going to play golf like 4 times a week.
We're in Scotland. They got some good golf courses.
It's class. So I would wake up at like 8, get to the course, get the first tee, play on my own. Play a full 18 until lunchtime on my own, come back, have a nap, wake up, have dinner, and then my show was at 9:55 every night. And I would go to those bars, and because I wasn't drinking, I would be there 45 minutes. I'd speak to a couple of the comics I'm mates with, and then I'd be like, I can't do this.
I got caught in a couple conversations with drunk comics I didn't know, and you are just drowning. You're like, I don't care.
And you're such a, like... As an American comic in Edinburgh, because not many of yous bother with it, because it's so far away and you're away for a month, you're such a commodity.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're like the American guy who's come to actually give it a go, and everyone knows you're sort of warming up for a HBO special. And like, you're so the little weasels who are like doing their first hour, you're the one person in the bar that's like, that's done so now.
No, man, the worst.
I've chew you here for hours.
The worst ones were the European comics that were trying to tell me that because they do Fringe, that it's better for stand-up than New York City. Where they were like, yeah, we do an hour every night here. And I go, yeah, but we do like 3 shows a night every night, any night you feel like it. And they're like, just this one Irish guy just wouldn't stop. He just wouldn't stop. I saw him twice. And both times he's like, we work harder than you. And you're like, I don't think you do.
I don't think you do. They definitely do not.
In his defense, he was hammered both times I saw him. But both times I'm like, buddy, I don't think you understand. You're not going to get me to go like, yeah, you do. I was just like, fuck off. I want to go get high and play Nintendo. I don't want to talk to you.
I've always sort of had one eye on America. And yeah. Like my I think my style's quite Americanized. My favorite comics are Americans. And sort of, I like putting our shows together that, you know, are an hour. Like, the last special I put up was one hour long story.
Sure.
A couple of tangents, but it's a story.
Yeah.
Which is a very sort of British way of doing it. But I won't do that unless the bits also work in a club in when you split them up a bit.
But that's the way you should do it.
It's so much stronger over here. The comedy club culture in the UK compared to the US is so much weaker. And I think we've got some really great comics in the UK. Yeah. What I've never seen in the UK, I was thinking about this earlier, I was talking about it. I've never seen someone in the UK make it and then get better, ever.
Really?
People make it and then they go, I can do arenas now. Because, like, you don't have to be as big as you do in the States to do arenas in the UK. Do you know what I mean? Like, once you
get... Well, you know, a much smaller area.
It's a smaller area. You don't need as many people. Like, I know there's people in the US who are stand-ups because I follow, like, anyone who comes up that I think is a good comic, I follow them, and I, you know, you're constantly trying to make new connections and stuff.
Yeah.
Especially because I want to be out here as much as I possibly can. There's people with much bigger followings than me over here who can't sell as many tickets as I do back home because you don't need to be as big. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But comics get to arena level in the UK and then they go, I can just do this forever. And they don't care about being great at it.
Yeah, they made it.
They're like,
take their foot off the gas.
I'm making £2 million a night. Like,
but something that translates overseas and not only just in comedy, but in, like, you know, entertainment industry over in general is when someone gets big, which you have a word blew up, your stand-up blew up. It was awesome. I remember hanging out in 2021 and then watching you take more and more steps, but you're also working your ass off and getting better. Was Edinburgh, was it different when you went this year?
It's so different. So that's the second time I've been to Edinburgh since it blew up, since Have A Word became what it is. So for those who don't know, and it'll be most people who listen to the show, I suppose, like, we started Have A Word in January of 2020.
Yeah.
So just before COVID hit. And as March approached and, like, countries in Europe were shutting down, it was so not feasible that they were going to do that in the UK. It was like, they're not going to lock us down. They're just not going to do it.
I mean, that's how New York was. That's how everyone in the United States was. Florida still never got locked down. Florida was like...
Liverpool was a lot like Florida, Jordan.
Oh, that's COVID, great.
In the end, because it was like, we can do what? Like, you, at one point, it was like, you've got to have a meal if you want to drink alcohol. So people were going to restaurants and going, we'll have 12 beers and you can put a pizza on the table.
I love that.
But that was a law. That was a fucking law. Yeah. And no one went, this is fucking insane. Yeah,
they're going to break this rule every... They're going to bend the rule every time.
Because of, like, the social distancing, this is true. So I went on a first date, like, during COVID. So we had, like, tiers. So depending on how, like, infected your city was, it was tier 1, 2, and 3. If you were tier 3, it meant, like, oh, there's not that much infection. And Liverpool for a while was tier 3.
Sure.
And it was... So if you're in tier 3, the restaurants can be open, but you have to have the 6 feet... social distancing, and if you were drinking alcohol, you had to have food with it. So I go on this first date, and we go to the first place we went to, we just get some food, and we're having a good time. And then there was a bar around the corner that I knew was, like, nice, and we were going to have music on, so I was like, we'll go there. And we walk in, and they go, oh, here's what we're doing. We know you don't want the food, so we know you've got to be social distanced.
Yeah.
So we're going to put, like, there's going to be your table, and then what would normally be another table next to you will be empty, and we're just going to put your food on that.
That's
so great. You can order, you've got to spend at least £10 on food, and we're just going to put it on the table. Yeah. They're like, pizza's £10. Do you want a pizza?
Here's a pack of Skittles. We're going to put it right here on this table. Counts as a meal.
And then there's live music on, and people are dancing, but you had to dance at your table. You could, it was fucking insane. We started Have A Word January 2020. COVID hits and, like, they start lockdown. So as a joke on an episode, we said, if we get locked down, we'll do an episode every day.
Yeah.
Like, while we're locked down. They lock us down, and our listeners, and we only had, like, 2,000 listeners at the time, which is fucking nothing. But they all went, right, so we're doing this every day. And that's where we started to snowball from, because we did an hour-long show every day for 2 months.
And also, people being locked down, and this is going to be studied for years, because right now we're still at the part where people don't even want to talk about it.
No.
They're like, don't bring it up. I don't want to go back there. Don't bring it up. But what's interesting about that is what it did socially for everyone around the world was people were forced to be isolated, but we have these supercomputers and the internet. So you didn't have to be completely isolated. So it was like isolation in a different way where you were like, oh, I can watch this show. And then people got into it.
On a day-to-day basis, though, so we're like, you're doing topical stuff about things that happened overnight. And it got bigger and bigger, and it's now, you know, it's done really well. We've done arenas with it in the UK. And
it's awesome.
Dan, who's my co-host, he's been doing stand-up 20 years, and he never really got any sort of break, but he was always, like, every comic always looked up to Dan.
Love it.
Especially in, like, the Northwest.
I love a Dan that's underrated. I see you, Dan.
You guys have to meet. he's class, and he's always been a great crowd work comic, but it never really, like, he sort of missed the boat of crowd work, like, clips and stuff.
Sure.
He can now tour off the back of a word, and I can't remember why we started talking about it.
So you do Edinburgh.
Yeah. So
you get all those special little click bars where like you walk in and they're like, I have an idea for us.
It's so fun. But it's not even just, it's not even just like the industry people.
Sure.
It's the comics.
Well, what you were talking about this at the beginning. And I know a lot of times on this show, we try to avoid comedy talk because now comedy talk is like, on every podcast what has happened is the industry has been eroded.
It's been
destroyed.
Yeah.
Because just now you just go straight to consumer.
Yeah.
So now we're like performers, but also little mini agents.
And
like we have this like part of our brain that's like, I've got a great concept. Let's talk business. And people are watching this at work. And I think this is a through line to what you're saying about why Have a Word took off and also why podcasts are popular is people are at work and they want something else to do, so they want to listen to us talk. And it's like, we're very lucky that we just get to bullshit and like hang out and make fun of sweat under our tits. And people go like, yeah, I've had tit sweat.
I got it right now.
Sitting in the office, I got tit sweat. But it is, I think that's part of the reason why Have a Word blew up was because people were going, well, now my friends Adam and Dan are there and I can listen to them every day.
Yeah.
And they're funny. Yeah. Who doesn't want to hang out? You know, I've always thought this is comics are the luckiest, not because we're like truth tellers and fucking gay. No. We are idiots that would have been fired at any other job.
Yeah.
But we got to do the thing that would have gotten us fired at any other job.
You find a way to make your sort of complete ineptitude for life.
Yeah, dude. When someone's like, you suck, I go, yeah, man. Yeah. Get in line. If you think I don't think that, like, fuck it.
There's a comic I seen get heckled, like, on one of his clips. And he said to the audience something like, you can't say anything to me. I haven't said 6 inches from the mirror.
That's so funny. I relate to that so much. I relate to that so much when people are like, I've been actively in therapy learning on how to take in compliments. That's my problem.
That's like, a fucking comical.
Yeah.
Like compliment them from the audience.
That you'll fuck me up. You're doing great. Yeah. I'll be like,
but you also can't, like, it's still annoying.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything about it.
You feel like Bane when you're like, you suck. And you're like, I was born in this. This is the reason I'm here. It's the reason I've only had a good relationship in my 40s is because it took me years to how to take shit in. Because it is, and that's why I think like, and then Indianapolis, July 18th through the 20th, I will be at Helium Comedy Club in Indy for 5 shows. Buy tickets right now. July 25th through July 27th, I'm going to be at the Addison Improv outside of Dallas. Things, especially now, are so fucking weird. We were just talking about this. I saw a story, you know, furries?
Yeah.
Like people like dress up like furries.
Yeah.
The story came out in the Daily Mail about a furry convention in Seattle in 2015. It's a big hotel.
Yeah.
And they went nuts. They thought they were just going to be like these cute people dressed like dogs and foxes. And they were like breaking toilets, breaking the hot tub. People were shitting in the pool. But my argument for that is, clearly someone was into the role. They think they're an animal.
Yeah, because people, everyone's who's opened the hotel has gone, oh, it's just people who dress up as animals.
They go, like, No.
They want to be trans species.
Yeah.
Like they want to
identify.
I'm a dog.
I am a giant cartoon seal and I'm going to eat I'm going to eat fish in your pool.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
What would a giant cartoon seal do?
What are you doing?
I'm shitting the pool. Yeah, where I'm a seal.
And I'm the bad guy? And I'm the fucking bad guy?
And literally, at the reception, told you I'm a seal.
Yeah. You saw me with my seal head holding it like a fucking... like a race car helmet, like I'm in F1.
I fucking love all those people, though, you know?
Yeah.
Oh. I love it so much.
I wish I was into it.
I'd love to pretend to be into it just for a while and see how far you can get it, because that is someone doing that.
But the second someone tried to fuck me, the second I saw a real dick come through that little fur hole, I'd be like, nah, let's play. But like gearing up, you know? I used to play football.
So I think you just want a Halloween party.
That's it. I just want to go to a Halloween party.
I've spoke about this on our show so many times. I have such a fetish for Halloween costumes.
Really?
I don't know what it is. Like, obviously, if it's like a super, like it's a properly scary one, but any sort of like slutty nurse, slutty.
That's like your thing.
It's, oh.
Really? From your whole life?
My whole life, and it's getting worse.
And also, here's the best part. This is where money becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Because now you're like, I can buy a real nurse costume. I can buy an actual. Do you remember how old you were when you first started?
I think it's my entire adult life.
You know what?
But lingerie does fuck all for me.
Yeah, but if a girl dresses up as like Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh my God.
Good night.
It's the best thing that she could do.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird because it's definitely a fucking me issue. I have so many little icks that like I don't like earrings. Like if a girl's got earrings in, it takes like 2 points. Like if she's an 8, she's now a 6. And I know it's me.
What a weird thing to be like, I need purity of earlobes.
It's fucking...
That's such a pure... That's honestly, I'm going to tell you, and I'm not trying to shame you. You're in a safe space. It's the only time I've ever heard that thing. That
I know. Don't like... But I tell it to people and everyone looks at me like you just did. They're like, are you speaking fucking Chinese? Like what? Like no one understands.
But I'm gonna try to reach you. I'm going to try to reach across the aisle and tell you... When a woman's too done up,
yeah.
A lot of guys like women that wear a lot of makeup or whatever. Uh-huh. I don't like that.
No.
I like plain face. I love when my fiance has no makeup on.
And I think that ties into the earring thing. And I think that's why like lingerie.
It's like, too fancy for you.
It's not just too fancy. It's too, like, it's like contrived.
Yeah. It's like stripper energy.
It's too much like, we're about to fuck. And it's like, I'd rather you walk in like my t-shirt.
Yeah.
Because then I'm like, I'm fucking good at
you. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? I get it. Like, you see a tit move in one of your t-shirts,
and
you're like,
that's the best thing in the world.
You're like, but then, I know that shirt.
The Little Red Riding Hood outfit is like so far past lingerie.
I think
like,
it's ridiculous. That's why you like it. It's because you know why? I don't think I could take a chef seriously if he wore one of those hats. You know, if he was like, I'm about to make you a meal, I'd be like, there's a fucking Boyardee over here. But if there was like a guy in like a, in like an apron, but like a rock and roll shirt or whatever, I'd be like, these tacos are about to fucking
rip.
They're going to
be fucking insane.
Yeah. And I kind of get that. You want the casual while also inferring that it's going to happen.
Casual.
What's your favorite Halloween costume?
I mean, like, sexually?
Yeah. Get it out there, dude. I want to know.
I mean, in that sort of context, I don't think you can really beat French maid. I think it is.
French maid?
I think it's the best one.
Do you think this goes back to just the imperialism of... does this go back to England versus France?
You're
this
giving me so much more credit than I deserve.
I'm looking for something because I'm trying to find...
I just love... Also, like, any sort of, like, A-line skirt... Like a skirt that like comes out from the hips and
goes. Brother, I get it.
Like a tennis skirt.
I was just going to say, I don't know what it is, but a white tennis skirt with white tennis shoes.
Yeah.
I'm like a cartoon. I'm like,
you're like goofy.
Tan legs.
Oh
good
my,
night.
It's the best.
I'll run through a wall and there'll be an imprint of my fucking, my body through the wall. But I get that because I think what it is lingerie is so forced.
Yeah.
It's so like. Hey, look, here's the straps and the fucking the lace. I'm not good enough for lace. You know what I mean?
That's, this is definitely the self-confidence thing. I haven't earned this.
I haven't earned lace? That's too nice. What, you got some regular cloth? You got some cotton?
Another one for me, and I think this goes back to the cash, is like sports merch on a girl.
Oh my God, there's nothing more attractive. My fiance is into sports. She's from Boston.
Yeah.
And
she's a Liverpool fan.
What's that? She's a huge Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
Huge Liverpool fan. We had a couple. Oh, there he is. He fell.
Mo.
Yeah, we had Mo up here.
He's probably going in the summer.
Is he? I
think so.
Yeah, but she went over there and like did a whole Liverpool tour. She was mad when your guys' coach, the German guy, he just left.
He's leaving in the summer, yeah.
Yeah, she was really...
I'm going to cry when he goes.
Really?
I know that's so sad.
I love that. No, dude, because I'm so gay for sports that I love... But back to what we're saying, the non-gay part. She will be like... right now, the Boston Bruins are in the NHL playoffs, right? So she'll be on the couch in like, you know, casual sweats and like a Bruins jersey.
Yeah.
And I'll come around the corner and be like,
yeah, it's elite.
She has this Celtic shirt. Fuck lingerie, dude. She wears this Larry Bird Celtic shirt. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Are we doing this? Because it is. I don't know what it is. It's like, you know what it is? I think it's, for me at least, it's like a way to be like, oh, we can hang out. And also I'm attracted. It's just like a... Look at us.
I don't know what it is, but like I've never had anyone like you go, yeah.
No, I get
it. So like, I've told like the other lads on our show and Carl, and he's like, I just think it's like a bit like it, that's what men wear. Like men wear those
Girl's
things.
Not
so you're
wrong.
Attracted to men. I'm like,
it is a little gay, but it's a little gay in the straightest way possible. It's like impossible gay. You know how they, instead of impossible meat, you go, this is all vegetables. You go, so you think it's dick, but it's pussy. And you go, oh. You're blown away. You're like,
fuck it, I get it. I think it just comes down to, that's what, like, I was talking to Carl about this. This is going to sound incredibly sexist, but I'm going to say it anyway. Like, if I could choose to be attracted to men,
yeah,
I think I would. Do you know what I mean?
It's my favorite Greg Giraldo joke of all time. He goes, gay is a choice. He goes, I would choose it every time. Yeah. Oh, you tell me everything I say would be interpreted and taken the way I meant it to be? It's like one of my favorite Geraldo jokes. So
I think just the sports match is just, it's a little nod to that.
It is. It's a little, and it is a little gay. But you know what? It's straight gay.
It's straight gay.
Because you're admitting it.
Yeah.
Because the ones that get in trouble are the ones that are like, no, that's ew. And then they just see like, but I think, hear me out, I think lingerie is gayer.
It is.
It's frilly.
And the word.
Lingerie.
Lingerie. Like,
what am I? Nah. What am I, some sexy Spanish guy? Get the fuck out of here. It really is such a low confidence thing that you're like, ah, fuck dudes. I'm only good enough for dudes. But it makes sense because... I always felt like, and I just said that, like when women are dolled up or whatever, I'm like, hey, I'm not worth that. I think there's kind of like that feeling of
it's
like...
It's just too much for me.
You're too dressed
I'm
up.
I'm an arrogant piece of shit, so I've got the same thing as you, but I think it's for different reasons.
I think we're two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
We're like, we're both feeling
I'm just
it.
I'm like, what, you don't need to do that for me.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Stop trying to impress me.
Yeah, that's what it is. And I'm like, I don't need all that.
Wipe your face, put the Mo Salah jersey on,
but
sit here.
If you're dressed like a nurse, good night. Has there been a time where you've seen someone you've known dressed up like a woman, dressed up in a Halloween costume, and it's changed your perspective of her?
No.
Like a friend, and then she's like, oh, I gotta go to this Halloween party, I'll stop by, and she's Little Red Riding Hood, and you're like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? You're like, what the fuck are you doing?
I think, I mean, the answer is no, I've never had that happen, but it would... But yeah. Also, I'd probably already like be like, I would anyway.
But
the outfit's the cherry on the cake.
Could heighten it.
Yeah. No, it probably would take someone who'd be like a complete like platonic nothing from like.
And I'm not saying in a way that you'd pursue it. I'm just saying in a way that like, you go, oh, all right. I've seen girls put their hair in ponytails, and you're like, what? And you just like, this is the moment where you're like,
are you a ponytail guy?
Just like, but the idea is because it infers
a
blowjob.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. And it'll just catch
I've
you.
Seen That's that what, on-
having a dick is it's just like catching a random case.
Yeah.
You just get a random boner sometimes from stuff that you're like, didn't expect that to happen.
Didn't know it was gonna be this.
Yeah, and you go, oh fuck, it's and then am I into this? I mean, that's like how you find out about the Halloween costumes. Is it just once you go, okay, once, and then it's second, and you go like,
oh no, it's all of them.
Like, oh no, we got
the first time you think it's just that costume, and then like when you get it, like you look around the room, you're like, oh no, it's literally everything.
oh fuck.
On the sports thing, because I know what you were saying before about like it's like you can hang out and you can have shared interests and stuff. We were talking about this recently. Me and me mates, there is a limit to that though. which is my mate was like, could you date a girl? Could you be with a girl and like be together if she like loved the football, like the soccer, like as into football as you are? And I was like, I think that is me line. I'd like a girl to like it. They like watching it, but they don't really care as much as I do.
See, I disagree. I think once you experience it, it's crazy because it's like she's not sitting on the couch being like, yeah, bro. But she knows names better than I. Because she worked for ESPN. She worked for Fox Sports.
That's so
she
different.
Knows shit. Well, she'll be like, oh, that guy played here. She's better with names. I'm so fucking stupid when it comes
to totally different. I think that's totally different. What I'm talking about is like...
It's like, yeah, bro. And you're like,
yeah. And also, like, if I came home and I we have a different way for it. But if I was like, come in and my girl was sat on the couch watching like... La Liga, she's watching like Spanish football.
I think on paper you think it would suck, but in actuality you'd have to see the energy of it.
No.
Because Big J used to make fun of me all the time. Katie worked for Apple. She was in the booth for baseball games, Friday Night Baseball. And we'd be watching some random TV show and she'd be like, all right, I gotta go watch this guy, he's pitching on Wednesday. And I got to go scout him. And Jay said, you're the only relationship I've ever seen where the girl leaves to go watch baseball.
No, but that's like, a job. That is sexy.
But that's also her. She's also into that. Like, I'll come home and she'll have baseball on during the day. She doesn't work for them anymore. And she'll come home and be like, oh, yeah, the Orioles are playing the day game. And we'll sit down and watch baseball. And you're like, it's fucking sick.
Yeah, no, I do.
But I understand what you're saying, because I think you're afraid that they're going to be, like, dyking out, being like, what's up, bro? What's up, this fucking guy? And a lot of times it's like, that kind of energy doesn't... She knows how crazy I am about the 49ers.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about this. I'm like the 49ers the way you are with Liverpool.
Yeah.
So she'll know. But what's great about it is, she'll be like, what time the Niners on? I'll be like, 4 o'clock. And she'll be like... She just knows where I've dated, where the opposite problem of this is, I've dated women that don't get it.
Yeah.
And so they go like, You're upset about a football game and you're like, they lost to the fucking Seahawks. Why don't you get that? And she'll be like the NFC Championship game this year when we were losing to the the Lions, we were down by like 21 points at halftime and I was yelling. And at one point, what's great about her knowing sports is at one point I go, this is the loudest I'm going to yell. This is the most upset I'm going to be. And she started laughing because she knew. She's like, I know where you're at as a sports fan.
Yeah.
We just watched the Maple Leafs Bruins series that went 7.
Yeah.
She was going nuts. I mean, nuts. And I was there to be the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Because I'm just getting into hockey now.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, no, I'll watch. And they scored. I was like, they scored. And she did the thing where she was like, if I watch, it's bad luck. And
yeah,
so she's in the hallway listening, and they scored. I was like, they fucking scored. And she's like, pass that out. And fucking came in. And we're like, and it was like, so I get what you're saying, where you're worried about them being too into it. But I'm telling you, when you find a woman that is, it fucking rules. Because understanding.
I just think there's a line for me. Like,
sure.
I've
I can respect that.
I've dated girls who don't care, and they've tried to do the funny, like, it's just a game. Yeah. And I'm like, I'll kill you. Like,
I'll tie stones to you and you'll go in the sea.
Like I'm not a violent man, but it's within me somewhere, and I'll kill you in your sleep. Like, fucking shut up. It's obviously not just the game, because I'm nearly in tears.
I have an emotional attachment, and you wonder why I'm broken emotionally. Follow this line.
And I've also dated one girl, and she was great. It didn't work out for whatever reason, but she, like she was a Liverpool fan. She wasn't like me. She's just like, you know, I want them to win. It's great when they do, whatever. And she understood what, like... So this was last season, like, so maybe like 18 months ago, I'm seeing this girl. And Liverpool are playing terribly. We've been awful all season.
Yeah.
And we played Manchester United, which is always just, that game still matters, even if you're going to finish mid-table in the Premier League.
Man U and Man City, they're like they're the kids that you just want to beat no matter what.
Well, Man City now, because of like what's
become
of them,
good. But
the oldest rivalry is Liverpool and United.
Okay.
So that game is the biggest game of the year every year, no matter what's going on. And I've been ill, like really ill all week. And when I'm ill, I'm the biggest bitch you've ever met, right? So like me and the girl I was seeing, we lived apart. But for that week, I was in her apartment. She was like, you're not well. Do you want me to look after you? I'm like, yeah.
I'm a baby.
So like she's literally like stroking me hair to sleep. And she's making me tea and soup. Liverpool play Man United, and I'm watching it on her couch, right? And I've got like a blanket over me, and I'm just sat there going, and we're dog shit. And I felt like Man United for the first time in years were going to beat us. And Liverpool won that game 7-0, right? Like, which is just such an anomaly for the season.
Slaughtering.
So we go 1-0 up in the first half. And the first half was only 1-0 at halftime. So the other six goals are all in the second half. So at 1-0, I'm like, fucking hell, we might win this game. And we go 2-0 up, 3-0 up. And I'm just getting, like, slowly less ill as the game goes on.
It's rising your spirit. Like
the blankets off. We go 4-0 up. And I go, if we go 5-0 up, I said, I'm going the pub. And she's like, you can't go to pub. You've been violently ill all week. You're going to make yourself worse. I was like, if we go 5-0. And then we go 5-0. She goes, you're not going to the pub. I went, right, if we get 6, I'm going to the pub. And we go 6-0 up. And I'm jumping around their apartments. I've got this energy from nowhere.
Yeah.
And she's like, I really don't think you should go to the pub. Just stay and watch the end of the game. And I was like, right, I'll watch the end of the game. And the second the 7th goal went in, she just handed me my jacket.
It's beautiful. She understands.
That's perfect.
But she understood.
That's perfect. But if I came home and, like, she's watching... like a foreign league, if she's like, I'm waiting on Barcelona for me parlay to come in, I'm like, I can't.
Well, that's too much. That's too much. If I came home and she was watching, like, you know, SEC college football, and she's like, I just really think Tennessee's going to turn it around this year, I'd be like, that's a lot.
It's just too much.
The Niners made the Super Bowl this year.
I watched it.
And I got horrifically sick. Same situation. Michael Che got me a ticket, and Shane was out there doing Bud Light stuff. So Shane goes, you can stay in my hotel. I got a hotel room for you. But I got one of the sickest I've been in over 10 years. And Katie was like, you going to make the Super Bowl? And I was like, I'm going to make the fucking Super Bowl. And I, 2 days before the Super Bowl, kick out of it, start feeling better. She gets crazy sick. And so then I'm like, oh, no.
That's worse than you being sick.
I know. And I'm going like, I'm like packing my bag, talking to her. I'm like, it's real bad. Like bringing her soup and stuff. You're like, so you're real bad. and she got it. And she was like, just go. But the whole time I was there, I was like, fuck.
You're rubbing it back with your right and folding your jersey with the left.
I'm checking to see the weather that day. I'm like, it's tough. It's tough. Shane's like, you coming here? I'm like, I'm on my way, buddy. Don't worry.
That's the best time to have a girlfriend like yours.
Yeah, because she got it.
Yeah.
Any other woman would have ended it right there and been like, you're going? And I'm like, and by the way, I went to the Super Bowl and they lost. And I was like, fuck.
I could have boyfriend points. The thing is, though, if I was with a girl, and like the only equivalent, I suppose, of the Super Bowl in Europe is the Champions League final.
Sure.
Because obviously the league system is, there's no final. Yeah. Whoever wins the league.
It's all on points, right?
Yeah. But there's three cup competitions every year. So there's the League Cup, which is always sponsored. So like this year, it's the Carabao Cup, which is an energy drink. And then there's the FA Cup, which is never sponsored, but well, it is, but the name never dominates it. That's another one you want to win. That's only played with English teams. The Champions League is all the best teams in Europe.
It's like, it's everybody.
If Liverpool got to a Champions League final, which we often do, that's Liverpool have like a good
You
history.
Did it. I think the first year I met you, you were just coming off of one.
Yeah. Very possible.
You went.
Yeah,
you
so,
like went to the Euro League final, right?
Yeah. So I went to the one in Paris in 2022, maybe. Maybe? I'm not sure.
I think it might have been 2021, because I think I might have just seen you right after that.
No, it was definitely 2022. But, we've been three in recent memory, so we will have been to another one that I didn't go to. I will have just watched it at home. But, like, I've now got to the point, career-wise, where if we're in a final, I will pay what it takes to go.
Yeah.
There is no illness or affliction that my partner could have where I wouldn't be going to that game.
Yeah, it's kind of, in a way, how I felt about the Super Bowl.
It's like,
I was like, listen.
Deal with it.
Also, I was in such a nice place where all I had to pay for was a flight. Mm-hmm. I had the ticket taken care of and the hotel was taken care of.
That's just impossible to turn down.
And you're like, I got to go. And also, playing the team that beat us that I went to in 2019 when we lost to the Chiefs, where I was like, it's a revenge game. Yeah. I got to go. And then they lost twice. And that's why I've made the promise to 49er fans. I will never go to another 49er Super Bowl again. I will always watch at home.
No.
I'm not ruining that again. I need them to win another one. I'll watch them win at home. And also, it just sucks. It just sucks losing and then traveling home.
Losing the Champions League final in 2022 was so... it was so bad.
I was on a podcast, pardon my take, with Big Cat, and he nailed it. He said, the travel home.
And also the travel. So there was a lot of trouble. So I went to the one in Paris. The final was in Paris. It was Liverpool against Madrid. But there was a lot of trouble before the game because of the French police are cunts. Like, they're the biggest cunts. And they they completely, like, the, all the locals, because the final wasn't played at the stadium that's in Paris. It's in Saint-Denis, which is just north of the city, and it's a ghetto. Like, it's
so it's all it has is the stadium, and then it's just, like, bad just living around it.
And, like, yeah. It's a really, really bad area of the country. And there's, like, locals, like, jumping the gates and, like, getting in and pushing past security and stuff. So then they just shut all the gates. But then there's 40,000 Liverpool fans with tickets. So the game got delayed, I think it was by an hour. Like, they never delayed football games, ever. Yeah. It was delayed by an hour because they were still
getting...
No one could get in.
And the French police are going, what do you want me to do?
Yeah. Tear gassing people, kids.
These people are happy for the fence. Maybe you should talk to them.
It was horrific. And I only got away with... I missed being in the trouble because I got so lucky. So I was there with Alfie, who's another comic who he opens for me on tour at the minute. He's phenomenal comic, Alfie Brown. One of my best mates from school, Josh, and Alfie's brother. And we went to the fan park in the afternoon and watched like the Liverpool like musicians and stuff singing in the park. And then we leave and everyone's walking. It's going to be like an hour walk to the stadium, but everyone's walking together. Oh, and we're
just and you guys sing those songs together. You guys have such camaraderie.
It's class.
It's like way different. Football, we just go like, Niners! Niners! But you guys sing songs where you're like, and the river bends down. You guys have whole songs.
So I went to a Liverpool game recently with an American. Actually, Shelby, who sort of was... part of who arranged for me to come here. Shelby's great. She like works with Steve, who does all our business side of the podcast. And she's the one who said, oh, do you want to go and do dance thing while you're over? She got four tickets to a Liverpool game. So she brought her colleague and took me and Dan. And I'd have been there anyway. I would have just been in a different seat. But she was at a game that you... like, the fact that it lined up for her to be at that one. So there was a tragedy in 1989 with Liverpool fans. Liverpool played in an FA Cup semi-final in Sheffield.
Yeah.
So back then, the semi-finals of that competition were played at a neutral ground rather than the National Stadium. So they played in Sheffield against Nottingham Forest. And the Yorkshire police completely fucked the day up. There was two pens that were supposed to have Liverpool fans in. They only opened one. They put all of the fans that were meant to be in both into one, and 96 people on the day died, and a 97th died years later as a result of his injuries. Every year, the game nearest to that tragedy, there's a minute silence, and also Liverpool's anthem, the song that everyone sings is You'll Never Walk Alone.
Yeah,
and it's just sung a little bit different that day.
Sure.
And that was the game Shelby got tickets to. So Shelby had no sort of experience of like British sports.
So she
football.
Went to the saddest one. She basically went to their 9/11 game.
Yeah, yeah, literally. Yeah. And she witnessed a perfectly observed minute silence followed by You'll Never Walk Alone at a completely sold out Anfield.
And an emotional.
And she's just stood next to me at one point. She goes, everybody knows all of the words.
Yeah, dude, there's a great documentary, 30 for 30, on that tragedy that happened that I watched, that you're just like, it's insane how much they fucked up. And like, it's, people were crushed.
Yeah.
Like, they were crushed by a crowd.
Against the fence, yeah.
But it is nuts because you never think of going to another country, their tragedy that maybe you don't know about. Like if a British football fan came over here,
yeah, when,
and the Jets were, because I think this year they played like near 9/11. It's when Rodgers ran out with the American flag.
Yeah.
You're going to see an emotion where you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
These people are going to run. So just going over there and being like, oh fuck, everyone's super bummed out.
Like people are like, crying because like they all lost, like, there's people who lost relatives and distant and close relatives at this thing, and there's never really been justice served for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like there'll be British listeners to your podcast now who are fans of other teams, especially if they're like rival teams. It'll be like, oh, he's talking shit, like it was the Liverpool fans' fault. It wasn't. There's been loads of investigations into it.
That's also, that shows you the level of sports fandom, where it's just like a horrific tragedy, but even your rivals will go, it was their fault.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but like,
like a Man U fan goes, all right, we got it. We have fucking, you know, and you're like, guys.
They sing about it. Like, they're trying to ban it, and, like, everyone who sings about it now will get ejected from stadiums and banned for life.
Wait, they have a song about it? So you guys do diss tracks about fucking sports tragedies?
It's called tragedy chanting. So Man United have got their own tragedy as well, and there's definitely Liverpool fans who are guilty of singing about that. So
it's fucking wild, dude.
Man United had an airplane crash in 1958 in Munich, yeah, right, where there was the runway was too icy, so their plane went to take off and it crashed, and one of the what would have been one of the greatest teams in history, like, they died. Like, sure. Their players died.
We had that with Marshall University, and yeah, they made a horrible movie with Matthew McConaughey in it.
Yeah. And like, fans will sing at Manchester United, like, Munich 58.
And they have a song about it.
Like, they'll go, Munich 58, Munich, Munich 58. And then, like, if that's a Liverpool... And a lot of Liverpool fans, most Liverpool fans, when they hear that, will go, shut the fuck up. And it's the same with other fan groups. When they sing at Liverpool fans about Hillsborough, which is where it happened, the majority of other fan bases will be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, have a little but class. Like,
the ultra fans will sing... So the one that gets leveled at Liverpool all the time is always the victims. It's never your fault.
But like, wild. Wait, that is so wild that that's yeah, the.
And they're trying to, like, they're trying to get it where if you're on camera singing it, that you'll then be banned for life from all football, because it's like they're trying to completely rule out.
But it's so crazy to me that it's a song, because yeah, I feel so silly singing, but to sing something mean, if I was like, Seahawks, you fucking pussies, and I'd be like, and they're like, you can't do that. I'd be like, mass shooting in Washington. And they'd be like, how could you fucking bring that up? It'd be fucking nuts. It's just nuts that it's so like... It kind of shows the old world tendencies of oh, but if it's done in song, it's not really that.
It is like totally different to the American chant. I went to Liverpool, were in the FA Cup final, same year, 22, I think.
Yeah.
And Shane was over.
Yeah.
And he did our podcast, and he says to me afterwards, he's like, oh, I'm going to the Cup final at the weekend. Are you going? And I was. And he was like, oh, I've got a ticket in the Chelsea end. But obviously, he doesn't really give a shit. He's like, I just got a ticket in the Chelsea end. And I was like, well, before the game, just meet me and come to the Liverpool pubs, because it's not like over here, there's segregation.
Yeah.
So, like, before a cup final, like, the fans, like, the both clubs will be, like, by the local council, they will be given, right, Chelsea, these are the pubs your fans are allowed to drink in, and don't go to the Liverpool ones. And Liverpool,
yeah,
these
are the pubs. Fights.
It's the you're on that side,
yeah,
and you're on that side, and don't go near each other. So I said to Shane, I know you've got a Chelsea ticket, just don't wear anything Chelsea, not that he would have, and just come to the Liverpool side. And he's just watching this sea of red, like, just sing, like, pre-game,
unbelievable,
after the game.
Are there still goons? Are there still, like, people that meet up in, like...
Like hooligans.
Hooligans, that's what it's called. Yeah, there's hooligans where you like meet. There was that movie they did about like they just meet up and fight.
There's Football Factory, there's Green Street.
Green Street. They made a movie about Green Street.
Yeah. The guy who wrote Green Street, his brother's a comic.
Really?
Yeah. So I forget the guy who wrote Green Street, his surname's Brimson. Eddie Brimson is a comic, and Eddie used to be a hooligan.
And so these guys, do they fight and then go to the game, or do they just fight?
It's often after the game.
Great.
Because
if you lost, you're fired up. I would almost be like, if we won, I wouldn't want to be a hooligan that day. I'd be like, I don't know, can we just go celebrate the win? It was fucking a good win.
I nearly got involved. Not that I was going to be a hooligan, but I nearly got caught in a crossfire of it like when I was like 17.
And now, how do they do that? Do they like reach out to the other hooligan group and they're like, this street, this time?
Yeah, so you've got like the head, like the... I don't know a lot about it because I've never been properly involved with it, but from what I know, there's the head guy of each firm. They're called firms rather than gangs. There's a head of each firm, and then they'll have like a side guy who's like, right, you organize it, and I'm the leader sort of thing.
That's so funny. They have a secretary. He's like, okay, does 3 p.m. work for you? Okay.
But they'll arrange like where to meet and
sure, what's
and they'll just beat the shit out of each other. But there's like a sort of, you know, there's a, like an honor to it, where they won't beat up just a fan of the opposition team.
They
want to fight the people who want to fight.
Yeah.
But we nearly got caught. I was 17, and at the time I worked in McDonald's.
Yeah.
And two of my mates who I work with called Nevin and Tony, and we went to Leeds away.
Sure.
So we went to the Leeds away game. And at Leeds Stadium, the away fans' car park, where all the coaches park, is maybe a 15-minute walk from the stadium. So after the game, you've got to walk from the stadium for 15 minutes to get back on the coach to get home. And on the way back, me mate Tony, and he's a good lad, but he's got a fucking mouth on him, do you know what I mean? And we're walking back towards the thing, and we're kids, do you know what I mean? And we're not paying attention to our surroundings. And he just goes, I fucking hate Leeds. It's a shithole, and I'm never coming back. And we just there from behind us, well, don't fucking come back then. And there's about...
Oh, is there a moment where you hear that and you go, fuck.
Oh, I've never shit myself more.
You go, oh, fuck, man, come on.
Because we've inadvertently walked to where they'd arranged to meet. So they now think, we got so lucky because there was maybe 30, 40 of them.
Oh my God, that's who was behind you?
And there's three of us.
Oh, fuck.
But we got just close enough to where the Liverpool fans were waiting for them that, like, we got out the way and, we just...
So the Liverpool guys were like, come here, go.
They were like, get out the way, yeah.
What? Were you just driving back like, oh, I fucking hate Leeds. Oh, fuck Leeds. Fucking almost got us killed, Tony. God damn it, Tony. He's like, oh, fucking
hate. If you'd have said it 200 yards earlier, we'd have been fucked.
They would have stomped your ass out.
Probably.
You would have been appetizers.
Yeah.
And then they'd been waiting. They're like, oh, we got fucking riled up. We fucked up some young Liverpool fans.
Yeah, we'd have been fucked.
Damn, that is nuts.
Yeah.
I had a thing recently, like, we went to a Niners-Seahawks game, which is a rivalry, but nothing like that. And we were leaving, 49ers won, and we're, like, leaving, and the Seahawks fan...
Just so you know, before you carry on,
yeah.
Leeds-Liverpool is not a big rivalry.
So they were just going to fight. That's so funny. That's so funny. That's like the Niners playing the Browns, and you're like, yeah, we're going to fight.
Yeah, literally.
That's fucking wild. But I saw it with our fans, where they're someone was talking shit to Seahawks fans, and they're like, dude, stop, what are you doing? And the guy was like, fuck yeah! And you're like... Yeah, you're an asshole.
Last time I was here, I went to watch the Rangers play.
Yeah.
I just love sports. Sure. Like, while we've been here this weekend, we went to see the Yankee game yesterday.
Great.
I can't believe how empty it was. It was so...
It's also May. It was May, and it's once it starts heating up, because baseball, it's so much. It's not like football where it's once a week. Or even basketball, where
five
it's like,
times a week or
yeah, it's like you can get tickets cheap, you can get tickets to any games, but you start looking in after the All-Star break. That's where everything changes.
Okay,
they do the All-Star break. After that is where playoff it starts becoming real.
Yeah,
and then you know if it's like let's say the Red Sox and the Yankees are heating up, you go to one of those games in August and it's full. It's full no matter
what. I just couldn't believe it, especially because like when I went to get the tickets, I said to Carl, I was like, right, the tickets range from $19 to like $400.
Yeah, $400 if you want to sit behind home base.
Literally. So I went, what do you want to pay? And he goes, let's just pay like $150. We'll get good seats, but not. So that's what we did. But yesterday I was like, we could have paid $19 and just walk. No one checked our seats. We could have gone anywhere.
What sucks is when they do check your seats, you feel like an asshole. You feel like an asshole. Because like I grew up going to Denver Nuggets games in Denver where they were horrible.
And
you would buy tickets at the top. And you'd be able to sit courtside, or at least close to the court.
Yeah.
By the third quarter, because they didn't care.
Yeah.
They're just like, go ahead. But now, if I buy a Nuggets ticket, it's going to cost me a lot of money, and I'm going to be up because they're good.
Because they're good.
Yeah, they're good. Once teams, that's America. Once you're good, everybody loves you, baby.
It's not a million miles away from that in the UK. The only difference is like in the Premier League, with one or two, maybe three exceptions, every game is sold out.
That's nuts.
Like, Liverpool can't win the league now. Like we're not going to win it this year. There's two games left. One is away at Aston Villa. One is the last game of the season, which is Klopp's last game, is at home against Wolves. You unless you went to a tout and paid extra, like, for resale, you can't get a ticket. It's not possible.
You just have to know somebody.
And there's nothing on the line.
Really?
Like,
it's also a big game because it might be Mo Salah's last game. It might be...
Totally, but, like, even if that wasn't the case... You're not getting a ticket from the club. Thanks for having us, lad.
Listen to Have a Word podcast. Check out Adam's stand-up. He is fucking hilarious. At Adam Rowe, R-O-W-E.
So Instagram, which is the best one, is Adam Rowe Comedian, R-O-W-E. Adam, R-O-W-E Comedian. And there's three specials on YouTube. There's Club Comic, which I shot at the Comedy Store in London, which is just two club sets from years ago. There's Imperious, which is the last tour. There's Juicy, which is
the story, right?
The story.
Yeah.
And then I'll have another one coming out in October because I've just filmed it.
Yeah, hell yeah. And we'll see you when you come out here.
Class.
But dude, you rule, man. Thanks so much.
Nice one.
Boom. Dude, that...